Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memory of Ram Gold. Hi, Anthony Masechus Be'ah, Daf Lamed Dalet, the fourth parak, Hamevi. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Chulin that teaches, Drasa or Shetrav Vekosa, if someone trod on a bird or knocked it against the wall, or if an animal crushed it, and it still flutters but is unable to stand, according to Rashi, Veshasme Eisla Eis Veshchat Kashera, if it remained alive for 24 hours and he shechted it, it's kosher. Rabbi Elazar bar Yannai said in the name of Rabbi Elazar bar Antignius, Tzricha Bedika, the bird requires inspection after it's shechted to check for internal injuries. Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zera, Moshchat beYontov, what's the lach with regard to shechting on Yontov after it lived 24 hours? Mimas chinen ruusim beYontov or lo? Do we assume that a problem exists out of concern of violating Yontov or not? Rashi explains that since shechting a treifa animal is usher, midarais on Yontov, and in this case, there's a greater chance that the bird is a treifa, do we prohibit the shechita? Rabbi Zera attempted to answer the question based on a mission that prohibits heating new towels to roast on them because they might crack. Similarly, shechita should be prohibited because the bird could be a treifa. Rabbi Yirmi rejected his proof, saying that heating the new towels in Yontov is prohibited because it's necessary to harden them. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, and Rabbi Elazar said another thing. Omen Adam al Muksa Erev Shabbos v'Shviz. A person may stand next to foodstuffs that are Muksa on Friday during the Shviz year and declare, Mekan ani ochel amach, from here I will eat tomorrow. The term Muksa refers to figs and grapes that were set in the sun to dry. During the drying process, they become inedible. Rashi explains that the fruits discussed here are somewhat edible and some people would eat them while others would allow them to dry longer. Therefore, their Muksa status depends on their owner. If he declared his intention to eat them in their present state, they're designated and no longer muksa. Rabbi Elazar only requires an oral designation to remove the muksa status, and one does not have to decide specifically which produce will be eaten since he relies on the principle of Bereira. The Chami disagree and say that he must mark off the portion to eat it and declare, Mikan v'adkan, I will eat tomorrow from here to here. Rashi explains that the Chami reject the principle of Bereira. And point number three, the Gemara brought a Mishnah from Maisus that taught that if children hid figs in the field prior to Shabbos, with the intention of eating them on Shabbos, but forgot and did not tie them, on Motzi Shabbos they may not eat from them, even as a snack, unless they take Maisrus. Their designation for eating them on Shabbos creates a chiyuv for Maisrus. A second mission for Maisrus taught that although a chatzar also creates a chiyuv for Maisrus, this is true only if there is gemar malacha of the produce, meaning that the processing of the produce has been completed. Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos Moshe Tikva Muksa LeMaisr. Does Shabbos establish an obligation for muksa produce, which is produce that has not been completely processed, to be tithed? Do we say that since the pasuk states, "Vakarasu l'Shabbos onig," you shall proclaim the Shabbos a pleasure? Kava ba'afil shol nigmar malach. Do the Shabbos establishes an obligation even for produce that has not had its gemar malacha or not? Rav Nachman answered, "Alimud aruchu biyadenu shaShabbos kovas." It is a fully developed teaching in our hands that the Shabbos establishes a chiyuv to take maestros whether the processing was completed or not. The Gemara will challenge Rav Nachman's position. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Chulin that teaches, Drasa or Shetrafa Bekosel, if someone trod on a bird or knocked it against the wall, or if an animal crushed it and it still flutters but is unable to stand, explains Rashi, Veshasa Me'esla Es Ushchata Kasheret, if it remained alive for 24 hours and he shechted it, it's kosher. Elazar bar Yannai said in the name of Elazar bar Antignius, Tzricha Bedika, the bird requires inspection after it's shechted to check for internal injuries. Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zera, Malo Shchat B'Yomtov, what is the halacha with regard to shechting on Yontov after it lived 24 hours? Mimas chinen ru'us B'Yomtov or lo? Do we assume that a problem exists out of concern of violating Yontov or not? Rashi explains that since shechting a treifa animal is asim d'orais on Yontov, and in this case, there is a greater chance that the bird is a treifa, do we prohibit the shechita? Rabbi Zera attempted to answer the question based on our mission that prohibits heating new tiles to roast on them because they might crack. Similarly, shechita should be prohibited because the bird could be a treifa. Rabbi Yirmi rejected his proof, saying that heating the new tiles in Yontov is prohibited because it's necessary to harden them. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, and Rabbi Elazar said another thing. Omen Adam al Muksa Erev Shabbos b'Shviz, a person may stand next to foodstuffs that are Muksa on Friday during the Shviz year and declare, Mikan ani ochel amachar, from here I will eat tomorrow. The term Muksa refers to figs and grapes that were set in the sun to dry. During the drying process, they become inedible. Rashi explains that the fruits discussed here are somewhat edible and some people would eat them while others would allow them to dry longer. Therefore, their Muksa status depends on their owner. If he declared his intention to eat them in their present state, they're designated and no longer muksa. Rabbi Ezra only requires an oral designation to remove the muktzah status, and one does not have to decide specifically which produce will be eaten since he relies on the principle of breira. The Chachamim disagree and say that he must mark off the portion to eat and declare, mikan ve'ad kan, I will eat tomorrow from here to here. Rashi explains that the Chachamim reject the principle of breira. And pointing with you, the Gemara brought a mishnah from Maaser that taught that if children hid figs in the field prior to Shabbos with the intention of eating them on Shabbos but forgot and did not tie them, on Motzi Shabbos they might not eat them even as a snack unless they take Maaseres. Their designation for eating them on Shabbos creates a chiyuv for Maaseres. A second mishnah from Maaseres taught that although a chatzar also creates a tithing obligation, this is true only if there's a gemar malach of the produce, meaning that the processing of the produce has been completed. Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos, Ma'u shetikva muktzah l'maaser? Does Shabbos establish an obligation for muktzah produce, which is produce that has not been completely processed, to be tithed? Do we say that since the pasuk states, v'karasa l'shabbos onik, you shall proclaim the Shabbos a pleasure, kava v'afil shalod nigmar malachta, the Shabbos establishes an obligation even for produce that has not had its gemar malach or not? Rav Nachman answered, Limud aruchu b'yadenu shabbos kvas. It's a fully developed teaching in our hands that the Shabbos establishes a chiyuv to take maaseres whether the processing was completed or not. The Gemara would challenge Rav Nachman's position. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Lamed Dalet, and our standard simon is a ladder. A ladder. So here goes. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shvius to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, who had a teaching in his hand that Shabbos is kovei l'maaseres, whether there is gemar malacha or not. Once again, it's a motion. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Dalet. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv, which reminds Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zera, what is halacha with regard to shechting a trod-on bird on Yantiv after it lived 24 hours? Mimas chinim ru'usa b'yomtiv or lo? Do we assume that a problem exists at a concern of violating Yantiv or not? Rashi explains that since shechting a treifa animal is asim b'derais in Yantiv, and in this case there is a greater chance the bird is a treifa, do we prohibit the shechita? Is there an attempt to answer the question based on our mission that prohibits heating new towels to roast on them because they might crack? Similarly, shechita should be prohibited because the bird could be a treifa. Rabbi Yirmi rejected his proof, saying that heating the new towels in Yantiv is prohibited because it's necessary to harden them. So the trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shvi'is to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating. Which reminds us, in the next mission, Rabbi Lezer said, Omen Adam al Muksa Erev Shabbos for Shvi'is, a person may stand next to foodstuffs that are Muksa on Friday during the Shvi'is year and declare, Mikan ani ochel amach, from here, I'll eat tomorrow. The term Muksa refers to figs and grapes that were set in the sun to dry. Rabbi Lezer only requires an oral designation to remove the Muksa status, and one does not have to decide specifically which produce will be eaten since he relies on the principle of Breira. The Chachamim disagree and say that he must mark off the portion to eat and declare, Mikan ve'ad kan, I'll eat tomorrow from here to here. Rashi explains that the Chachamim reject the principle of Breira. So the trod on a little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shvi'is to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, who had a teaching in his hand that Shabbos is kovei l'maaseres, whether there is gemar malacha or not. Which reminds us, Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos ma'u shetik v'muktzah l'maaser. Does Shabbos establish an obligation for muktzah produce, which is produce that has not been completely processed, to be tithed? Do we say that since the pasuk states, v'karasu l'shabbos oneg, you shall proclaim the Shabbos a pleasure, kavav v'afio shalod nigmar malachta, the Shabbos establishes an obligation even for produce that has not had its gemar malacha or not? Rav Nachman answered, Limud aruchu b'yadenu shabbos kvas. It is a fully developed teaching in our hands that the Shabbos establishes a chiyuv to take maaseres whether the processing was completed or not. The Gemara will challenge Rav Nachman's position. So once again, the trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shvi'is to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, who had a teaching in his hand that Shabbos is kovei l'maaseres, whether there is gemar malacha or not. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed, the simon for Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, Melamed, that must mean we're in Daf Lamed. The Rebbe was so proud of his Talmidim who didn't protest when they saw a woman drawing water from the river on Yantiv in the normal manner, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who brings pitchers of wine from place to place may not bring them in a basket or box, but he may bring them on his shoulder or in his hand in front of himself. Rashi explains that he may not place three or four pitchers in a box and carry them because it appears like the weekday activity of carrying burdens. But a Tana taught, im iev charlushanos mutter. If it's not possible to deviate from the normal manner of transporting, it's permitted to carry the pitchers in a normal way. So the Rebbe was so proud of his Talmidim, who didn't protest when they saw a woman drawing water from the river on Yontif in the normal manner, nor give tochacha to the group of Jews dancing and clapping in a sukkah, which reminds us that even though it's forbidden for people to dance, clap, and slap their thighs on Yontif and Shabbos, when we see people do so, we don't give them tochachim because mutiv shiyu shogim v'ayu mezidin. And this applies even in derisas, as we see in the case of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, where people are required to begin their fast earlier Erev Yom Kippur, and yet we don't give tochachim to the people that eat up until it gets dark. So the Rebbe is so proud of his Talmidim who didn't protest when they saw a woman drawing water from the river on Yontif in the normal manner, nor give tochacha to the group of Jews dancing and clapping in a sukkah where the owner happened to be taking down his decorations. Which reminds us that we learned that a tanai works to permit one to make use of a sukkah decorations, but a tanai does not work to permit one to use the wood of a sukkah the 7 days of sukkahs. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The retired judge. That must be more in Daf Lamed Aleph. The law. The retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his vase on Yontif, which reminds us, we may bring wood from a field from that which has been gathered into a pile before Yontif, umina karpaf, a field, mina mafuzer, and from an enclosure one may use even from what is scattered. Rava said when it comes to leaves of reeds or leaves of vines, even if they are gathered and lying on the ground before Yontif, since they would scatter if a wind would blow, they're considered kumufuzarim, they're considered scattered already and are prohibited. Or she explains that even if a wind doesn't scatter them, they are prohibited. Since the owner thought they would get scattered by the wind, he didn't plan on using them. Rava continues, if one placed a kli on the leaves the day before Yontif, so they would not blow away, the leaves are not muksa. So the retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his face on Yontif, just as he was about to chop wood with the narrow blade of his axe, which reminds us that the next Mishnah taught that one may chop wood from a beam that broke before Yontif. However, one may not chop using a cardam, an axe, or a sickle, or a saw, but only with a butcher's cleaver. Rav Chinin of Bar Shalemia said in the name of Rav in regard to the cardam, the axe, the prohibition was taught only by using the wide edge of the axe blade, but using its narrow edge is permitted. One might have thought the Mishnah's leniency applies only to a butcher's cleaver that has no wide blade, but in the case of a single tool which has both an axe blade and a cleaver blade, I would say that since the side with the wide blade is prohibited, the other side with the narrow blade is also prohibited. Rav Chinin is coming to inform us that the narrow side of the tool is permitted. So the retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his face on Yontif, just as he was about to chop wood with the narrow blade of his axe, decided to breach the wall made from a pile of bricks and snack on his sealed-off produce. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Baishu Mali Peros Benivchas, of a room filled with produce, was sealed before Yontif, but on Yontif it became breach. Note, Mamakam Apchas, one may take produce from the place of the breach. But Remer says, Apochas Vachachil Benoto, one may even breach the wall initially and take the produce. Rav Nechumi Bar Ada said, in the name of Rav, that the Mishnah refers to a room whose wall consists of a pile of bricks. Rashi explains that the bricks were stacked, but not cemented together. Rav Meir permits the demolition of such a wall, even though these bricks are muksa, as they were set aside for construction. Rav Meir permits moving the muksa bricks, because it's being done for the purpose of Simchas Yontif. Daf Lamed Beis, so the Simur Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in a lab, that must be run Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in a lab trying to haul out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins, which reminds us that Rav Yosef said that the tongue in the Mishnah that says that we may not haul out a lamp because one thereby makes it into a kli is Rav Meir, who holds that the kli cheres can be makabel tumah once it has been hauled out, even though it has not been hardened in a kiln. When asked that perhaps Rav Meir said that kli cheres that has not been hardened in a kiln is considered completed only with regard to a large utensil because it's suitable to hold something, but here, in the case of a small lamp, what is it suitable for? The Gemara answers that even a small lamp is suitable for holding coin. So the mad scientist in a lab trying to hollow out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins refused to let a poor man at his door sell them and share in the profit, which reminds us the Rav Nassim Bar Abba said in the name of Rav that the wealthy of Bavel will descend to Gehenna, as can be shown by the incident where the wealthy of Bavel refused to help Shabbosai ben Marinus by giving him work or sustenance. Shabbosai said that they were from the heir of Rav, and we learned Kol Merachem Al Brios Biyaduah Shehu Mezor Shel Avram Avinu. Any Jew whose compassion with people is certainly a descendant of Avram Avinu. And anyone who is not compassionate with people is certainly not a descendant of Avram Avinu. So the mad scientist in a lab trying to haul out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins refused to let a poor man at his door sell them and share in the profit because his domineering wife wouldn't let him. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Gimel Chayehen Einem Chayim. There are three types of people whose lives are not lives, and they are Hamatzapu L'Shulchan Chavero, one must look to another's table for sustenance, Misha Ishto Moshe L'Solab, and one whose wife rules over him, Mishi Yisurin Moshin Begufam, one whose body is racked with pain, and some add also someone who only has one shirt, which will result in his becoming infected with lice. The Gemara asks why the Tana Kamma didn't include in his list someone who only has one shirt, and the answer is for it's possible for him to check his clothing and remove the lice from them. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit, which reminds us, regarding a chizre using a pointed branch as a spit, Rav Nachman prohibits it, but Rav Sheshes permits it. The Gemara presents two different versions of the Malchokas, whether they're arguing over using dry wood or moist wood. So the peg leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit while chewing on toothpicks he made by trimming hay, which reminds the Gemara examines whether wood may be splintered to slivers on yantiv for one to pick his teeth. Rav Yehuda said, Ochlu behema ein behen mishum tikun kli. Items which are suitable for foods of an animal, the prohibition of perfecting a kli doesn't apply to them. Rashi brings the examples of trimming hay or leaves of reeds on Shabbos to use as a toothpick. The Ran explains that these materials are soft enough for an animal to eat, and anything made from them would not be a lasting item. Therefore, the prohibition of perfecting a kli from them has not been violated. So the peg-leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit while chewing on toothpicks he made by trimming hay watches men collect piles of wood in the chatzim to be used immediately for kindling a fire. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, Megabe, Mino Chatzim Madlik, one may gather hay or slivers of wood from the Chatzir to kindle a fire, Shekol Mashim B'Chatzir Muchanu, because everything in the Chatzir is considered prepared and not Muksa, Ubilvad Shul Yasid Tzibur and Tzibur, provided he doesn't make piles of hay and wood. Rav Shimon permits making piles. The Tana Kamma holds that it's prohibited to make piles, because it looks as if he's gathering hay and wood for the next day and for the day after that. Was Rabbi Shimon holds as permitted to make piles because his pot proves his intention. Since he's collecting hay and wood for use as firewood, and people see that he's ready to cook, they'll realize he's collecting these piles for immediate use. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.